97.5, The Fanatic.
I can't believe it's already 10 a.m. on this Sunday morning. Good morning, everyone. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5, The Fanatic. All-Star Saturday night is in the books, and wow, what a Saturday night it was. Really just good, entertaining competition. And it was competition. I mean, I know we look and think it's made for TV. It is, but it is competition, and you could tell whether you were looking at the skills that came down to Bam and Sabonis or Buddy Hield, and they showed Devin Booker watching as he's doing his final rack and needs that final shot to go in for the win. And then, you know, going crazy and they hug. And then the dunk contest coming down to a two dunk off, I guess twice I have to say that. Two extra dunks. How about that? And poor Aaron Gordon put up 550. Five times perfect 50 and didn't win. Because his final dunk got a 47 when he picked a guy 7'7" out of the crowd and gave him a ball to put on his neck and he cleared it. I don't know what the right way to judge that, but I feel bad for the guy. And that's also, you know what I feel bad? Because it's taken away from Derrick Jones Jr., who performance was outstanding. But the other guy can't lose. Not in my book. All right, let's go to Chris. Chris in Williamstown. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Dee. I'm excellent. How about yourself?
Excellent.
The coach? Always great, I hope.
Yeah, coach is taking in some sunshine down there in Florida.
You know, I was given the opportunity to go down and see some spring training baseball, so I'm kind of mulling over whether it's worth the money to go down there and see that. But, you know, it's funny we're talking about this because they're showing a replay on the network right now, and it was really interesting, the 3-point contest where they had the green ball out there.
I know. I was telling Josh, I don't like it. I thought it messed with some of the rhythm.
Well, Joe Harris, it did.
Yeah,
but and it was kind of ironic too when it came down to Buddy Hield on his last round. Right before they did that, they were talking about something between him and Kobe where he was really, like, instrumental in Buddy Hield's career, like, prior to coming in the NBA and whatnot.
Oh, wow.
And they were talking about how if he won it, he would kind of dedicate it to Kobe, but we didn't hear that. But, you know, hey.
I will say this. As soon as it, yes, good for him. I went and looked because I wanted to see what he was shooting from three, because a lot of people say shooting in a 3-point shooting contest like that is not indicative of a 3-point shooter in a game per se. I mean, you have to know how to shoot, obviously. But
Trae Young showed up small.
Yeah, but it's not for everyone, I guess is my point. And Buddy Hield on the year is shooting 38.5% from three. But here's the deal, Chris. You know, he averages 10 three attempts per game.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's a lot of practice on a daily basis.
Yeah, and that's too many numbers for this early on a Sunday morning.
Sorry about that.
No, it's good. You know what? And then, you know, of course, the finals of the dunk contest, it was kind of, I don't want to take nothing away from Jones Jr., but he was a foot inside the foul line.
He was. So, I mean, he was.
You know, even if you wanted to break the tie, I still think Aaron Gordon, hands down, should have won the contest.
Yeah.
For me, that would have been the time to break the tie and give it to Aaron Gordon.
I agree. So,
and I mean, tonight, I don't know how it had to feel when I got one guy on my team on one side and one on the other. Like, you know, I love the old style play where, you know, the East is the East, the West is the West.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Meaning for the game coming up tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's like, you know, the NFL adopted it, now they're kind of adopting it with the captains and everything. It's just kind of silly because now you don't have, now the competitive rivalry gone of one side versus the other, like baseball does with the All-Star game.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So, and it meaning something.
I mean, obviously, you know where it started in the NBA is when they used to play the rookies versus the sophomores, then they made that the world versus the USA.
Yeah, and then just experience. But see, they need to go back to it meaning something and there being something on the line. There was, I heard people talking about, well, you add more money to it and you make it more. That's not going to do anything. That's just more of an incentive to play good during the regular season. Need more slack at during the All-Star game. Now, you need to give them something to lose and stand, like standings and home field. That stuff needs to matter in the other sports, not just baseball.
No, I know. I hear you. And do you have one? Any thoughts on the Sixers for the final third?
I hope the last game wasn't like, you know, something like a Brett Brown going off on them in one game, and then next game it kind of going completely away.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
hope not
we
either.
Saw it when they got beat by the screen, how they kind of started using it to their advantage. You know, I hope that, you know, the Al Horford thing was interesting, gave you more weapons on the second team. You saw guys moving around, you know, moving, trying to get shots, playing without the ball in their hands. You know, that's the way you play basketball. If they put the fundamentals back in the game and in their game, this team should have a legit shot to make a playoff run to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not going to say Finals. I'm going to say Eastern Conference. That's why I think this team needs to get past. But that's where they...
And, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals, I'd be okay with that. I think,
but
you know...
We shouldn't be okay with that because it's like the concept of 6 years of competitive basketball for one title. You know, like I would take the one title for 6 years of horrible basketball. If the man, I get that monkey off my back.
I do hear you on that. I will say somebody sent me an email the other day that said, and it listed how many years Jordan, it took him 7 to get to the championship. The only one that stood out to me that wasn't on there was Tim Duncan, because Duncan did it in his third year, but he was also with Dave Robinson. But when the initial one that was that jumped out at me is Jordan taking 7 years, and you know there's some legitimacy to that getting to the. I mean, you can look at the Warriors. Steph took that long.
I'll leave it this way. You know. Wherever they land this year in the playoffs, whether it's Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals or whether it's Game 1 or Game 7 in a, you know, the first round, you will see whether they took a step back because of putting defense first instead of offense. You will see whether the defense holds, but I don't know if they have enough scoring to get it done. So
right. We'll
see how if that took a step back in that department this year.
I hear you. Chris, I appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too, Dave.
All right. I'm glad he brought up the defense because as good as we all like, and it was definitely a move that I think most people wanted sooner, moving Al Horford to the bench. However, I will tell you that him in that defensive lineup is significant. And in particular, when they play the Bucks, they may have to sacrifice and put him back in the starting lineup. I'll be interested in that on next Saturday night because defensively, with him in the lineup, especially against the Bucks, that is significant what their numbers are. So, you know, the problem is, and I'd like to probably study a little bit more some of the top teams. The disparity for the Sixers is that their defensive rating is 4th. Their offensive rating is 20th. That's a big jump there. And I'm going to venture to say the upper echelon teams, that number is not so drastic. Maybe it is. Like, for instance, I would say Houston, obviously their offensive number is going to be high. But I'd like to know, is their defensive number, like, let's just put them without me looking at it. Is their offensive number 4 and their defensive number 20? But we also, I think, say, well, Houston's not winning the championship. And you're okay with that because you just know. Your eye tells you they're not. So if that's the truth for them, is that the truth just reverse for the Sixers? Or can they have a better chance of correcting? And I think it's, you need to have the defense. You know, you can come up, I think, with different lineups and different schemes if you have talent that should be able to get you buckets. If you don't have talent, I get it. But they do. But defensively, you can't, you know, just pull out of your hat a Ben Simmons and a rim protector like Joel Embiid. A Josh Richardson who can have Paul George shooting 1-for-7 from three. I think that's what he was 1-for-7 at one point. I don't know if it was all from three. I'll have to look that. A Clipper game is becoming a distant memory all of a sudden. Speaking of the Clippers game, let's check in with Tommy in Springfield. Tommy, what's going on? How are you? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
How you doing? My favorite basketball player stated in the year, Charles Barkley stated the Sixers not only will get to the finals, but will win the whole thing. And I'm hoping, you know, they can do that. They just got to play the way they played against the Clippers, because I think that was the biggest game of the year, not the Bucks game.
I agree with you. I already said that for me.
Yeah, I would, you know, if they could play like that, I think, because they got the top seven guys in the East, probably maybe in the NBA starting lineup wise. I mean, they are talented.
They're talented. I can't say top seven in the East. No,
really, because that's what I would think that, because you know,
Giannis is better. Siakam is better.
Right, but I think they can. They got to get on a roll, because last year they won like 16 in a row at the end of the year, and they got to get on a roll, because other teams...
That was 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years? Okay. Yeah. Well, they got to get on, like, they gotta get a winning streak going, you know? I mean...
They do have... They're in little spurts, and it's called home court. They get on winning streaks when they're on... you know, they just won three in a row, but they were all at home. They lost four in a row, but they were all on the road. You know,
they
got to
win on the road. I can't believe they're this bad on the road. I just can't believe that.
Yes,
the talent that they have.
They have 13 road contests left, and
I'd be happy with 8 wins out of that.
8-5 would make them, for the year on the road, would give them 17-24. That's not a great road record. Now, I will say, they've not had a winning road record under Brett Brown ever. And last year, they did win. They won one in Brooklyn. They won in Toronto. They didn't win the Game 7 in Toronto, but they did win in that building. So it's not like they carried over from the regular season into the postseason that they couldn't win on the road. So I guess they could hang their hat on the fact that they have done it in other circumstances.
Right. I just don't want to see Charles, you know, Barkley. He's going to look like a fool, you know what I mean? Does Barkley and Shaq, do they hate one another or what? Or was that just for show? Because one time Barkley was going to, I thought they were going to get in a fight on that TNT, on that, you know, that.
I
hope they don't hate. Because one day, man, they almost went at it. I'm like, I don't know if this for show or ratings or what.
Or they, like, you know, it's like if you disagree with somebody in your family, it doesn't mean you hate them.
Right.
What up, bro?
All right, good talking to you. Thank you.
All right, Tommy, have a great day. I appreciate it. You know when you just have a totally different perspective than another person and you feel like they're not hearing what you're saying and vice versa? Yeah.
And you can tell Chuck likes to just tease him, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know, I've met Shaq and I've been down there. I've gone down there for the show and like been in the studio in between games and the whole thing and watching them prepare, and they sit in a control room. I've done it when they've been in the playoffs. And so they have all these monitors and you're watching like all the games at once, because when they go to, you know, do their cut-ins at halftimes and whatnot, you know, you have to know what's going on everywhere. And it's interesting though. And I know this just from having done pre and post games with my dad. We would never discuss anything during watching games, and they're so similar. They're not having any conversations about what they're going to say on that set. They're just watching the basketball. And that way you bring, you know, an element of surprise, an element of having no idea what he thinks. And I think it makes for the best TV, personally. 610-632-0975. Max is with us at Lincoln University. Max, what's going on? How's that Lincoln University basketball team doing?
I'm actually not at the university. Oh. The whole area.
Oh, I got it.
Around the University of Colorado. I did go to Lincoln, but I graduated years ago.
I was just curious because Doug Overton is the coach there, and I run into him in the summers, but I haven't checked how the basketball season is going.
Oh, yeah. I'm living out in Pittsburgh. I haven't followed the team this year.
Got you.
So I'm not actually sure.
Sorry.
I'm all right. Had a belated Valentine's Day. Hope you had a good one.
Oh, thanks. Nah, I treated myself to an excellent meal. I had sushi by myself.
sounds like my night. Yeah. My overall point was I think people are making too much. It's just my opinion. Of the Sixers' road record, because if we have home court in the first round, get to a fourth, say at least, then we would literally don't have to win a road game. And right now, I think they're capable of winning one out of three.
You mean if you got to four, you don't have to win a road game in the first round?
First round, yeah, only first round. But yeah. Even the next two, I think they're capable right now of still in one game, because from like every time we play the top teams in the league. Bucks, Lakers, we always play well. So, I mean, it tells me that, I know this is terrible, but from my point of view, it looks like they're just waiting for the playoffs. And I know they got to get in rhythm and chemistry and all that, but...
No, there's some truth. They do look like a team that thinks they can throw the switch.
Right, exactly, especially Embiid. He's the biggest switch person on the team, thinks he can just turn it on. And partly because he's so talented, he thinks he can.
Well, I don't know why he would think that, though, because... The past history has said that's not worked well for him.
I just think he's still young and dumb and learning. He's still young in the mind. He's going to learn the hard way. I do love what I'm seeing out of Ben right now.
Yes.
If Ben keeps this going, it's going to be really difficult to deal with. Because I love the whole pick and roll action that Embiid got going on, like below the free throw line.
Yep.
That's a nightmare. And I was waiting for Brett to say, I was waiting for years to see that. Who was that yet last in the playoff? But anyway, I'm not here to get on Brett. I like Brett.
No, I agree with you. There's a lot of it that says, you know, why hasn't this been able to be seen before? For instance, not just a pick and roll with those two, but how about just using Ben more as a screener or playing him at the four as often as they're playing him now?
I feel like
the organization dug their heels in just to say he's our point guard. How about just, like, play him to maximize his talent?
That's what I've been saying the whole time.
That's
and then I think I've only seen spurts of it from Brett. It's like, I do it sometimes, but, like, well, why not do it more? But hopefully, this is the last third of the season coming up. You know, Brett always loves his third, break up in thirds. So hopefully, he's been saving something for the last third, getting ready for the playoff. And hopefully, it's a lot more what we saw from the Clippers.
I agree. And I think there's reason to think that's true, Max. I don't believe that they overdid it, so to speak, in the Clippers game. I think everybody did. Like, for instance, Tobias had a really good game, but at the end of it, I think he ended up being 9 of 19 from the floor. That's not awesome. You know, Ben had a triple-double, but Ben flirts with a triple-double every night.
Exactly.
You know, so that was kind of normal. Embiid had 9 boards to go with his, I think he had 22, if I'm not mistaken. 26. You know, so he had a nice game. He did get in foul trouble, though. So it wasn't as if everybody played perfection.
Exactly.
And now we have to sustain perfection. And then Josh Richardson. Josh is a key, like, X factor in my book.
Well, I think we forgot how important he was.
He's very important. He's got to be healthy.
Hey, I actually heard that Josh is kind of the leader of the team as far as speaking up. And when they were having a little turmoil, I heard he was the one that was really leading the way and getting them to players' meetings and all that. So I think he's vital on and off the court.
Well, I would say that, and I appreciate the phone call, Max. So I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. I do know that he is... a willing talker. Horford's a willing talker. Tobias is too. The problem is that you're asking the people who have come from the outside to lead a locker room that has two pretty dominant personalities. And even though you would say, well, is Ben a dominant personality? I don't know. He is. He is by presence. His presence says, I'm an all-star. He told you that. So those are two dominant personalities that have been here for a while, that have been anointed the cornerstones of this franchise, the crown jewel, and I don't know, give the other one a nickname, but it's equal to crown jewel, let me tell you. And So now you have these guys who have these equal max contracts, but, you know, they're outsiders coming in. And that is a difficult, and they're not the best player on the team. It's not even close. So to be vocal in that sense, your voice can be heard, but can it carry the room? And that's been part of what has been discussed. You know, who is the leader of that group? And to be honest, to this point, the leader has been Brett Brown, and that's why he takes a lot of the heat, because not everybody agrees with the way he goes about his leadership. You know, not being strong enough or hard enough on those two cornerstones. And that is why you are where you are. But where are you? You are 34-21 with 27 games to go. You're sitting in the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference, a game and a half back of Miami, 4.5 back of Boston. 4 or 3. Well, I should go like this. 3, 4, or 5 is where you're going to land, in my opinion. I don't think Indiana can catch them. I don't think they have a good enough roster to do it. I think the Sixers' fate will most likely be determined by what they do in their final 13 games on the road. But me personally, I want them to become a better road team in those 13 games. And I said I would so much rather take that, a 10-3 on the road, and if you have 2 slip-ups at home, no problem in my book, because you have solved what I consider a major problem. And you may say, well, you only have to steal 1 on the road. I don't know when you're going to have to do that stealing, but it's not going to come easy. And you need practice, right? You get better with practice. If Iverson were listening to me right now, he'd call up and say, you really talking about practice, D? Yeah, I am. You got to know how to win on the road. And you can't flip a switch for that. And it's a more difficult task than coming out and playing in front of that crowd at the Wells Fargo, which is one of the best in the business. And I'm not just talking about this year, period. From crowds that get behind their group, this is one of the best. And I've been in a lot of them. But it is a drastically different task for this group to go on the road. And they got to figure that part out. And I would take it at the expense of losing a couple at home. I'm not saying you have to trade one for the other. I'm just saying if I had my priority list going into the final 27, I want 10-3 on the road. I want 10-3. 610-632-0975. Lines are wide open. We're talking about the last night's Saturday night, All-Star Weekend in Chicago. It was one for the ages for sure. We had a couple ideas of how you could change, maybe have a different result or the right result happen in the dunk contest. Yeah, I wonder if you had opened that up to fans at home, if that could have weighed in on, I'm not saying it has to be the whole vote, but if there's some way to quickly tally and you see where it's going. Was it right down the middle? Or did the eye tell you that one of those guys was better? I don't know. I mean, is that a way of doing it? I'm open to suggestions. And obviously, we've been talking about Simmons and Embiid, and I'll read a couple of their quotes from yesterday. And there is a sense of commitment to making it work between the two of them. They have talked about each other this weekend more than I think of them talking about each other in the past. So we'll talk about that on the other side as well. And they're going to be playing tonight. Are you pulling for one side or the other, or do you not care? 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Seven, 5, The Fanatic.
This weekend's programming is being delivered by Papa John's new Papadias. Hand-folded in four flavors, just $6 each. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Coming up later today will be the NBA All-Star Game. Team Giannis versus Team LeBron. 2 years in a row, each of those guys got to be the captain. Giannis took Embiid with his first pick. And then Simmons is on Team LeBron, so you get to choose if you want to go one versus the other, or you can just take in the action and the new rules and see how it goes. I was mentioning how, for the first time, in my opinion, that these two, because they have been put in a spotlight of, you know, maybe this can never work, and maybe you'll never be able to win a championship together. And if that were the case, you know, the failure goes on both of them. So instead, the two have kind of come to each other, not together, but meaning to each other's having their back when they were asked about this weekend. And when asked Embiid, you know, that maybe this isn't going to be able to work with you and Simmons on the same court, and then eventually that means somebody goes. I think it's BS, because when you look at the last couple of years, the last 2 years that we've been playing together, it's not a problem. This year, it's only been a problem because our offense has struggled. It's definitely going to be better after the All-Star break. I mean, just look at the last 2 years, what we've been able to do. I think it can work, and it's going to work. It's my guy Embiid always comes with the, like, hammer. It's going to work. Not even a question in his mind. And then for Simmons' response, it takes time. Not everything is perfect. Not everything works right away. I love playing with Joel. I think he's an amazing talent, a guy I respect for his game, and I know he feels the same way about me. We continue to go the right way. There's so many different things that we haven't tried. We've got a lot of talent. It's scary how good we can be. Scary how good we can be. All right, we need to, like, move the pace along there a little bit, Ben. I agree with somebody who said they like the way Ben's playing. I would say that I do believe Ben has taken his game up a notch. I did not feel that the first month of this season. Absolutely not. Probably not even until we got to January. And it really started for me with him when Embiid went to the sideline. Now, I don't want Embiid to be sidelined, but I wanted Ben to continue it when Embiid got back in the lineup. And he has. And to me, that's growth. And his growth defensively, nobody would dispute that. So I cannot say the same with Joel Embiid's game. And his benchmark was higher if we were just going by statistics, because last year he averaged 27 points, and those numbers are lower this year. I think he's around 23. I don't think we see the same rim protection that he was a year ago. He's getting... That's probably going to be comparable. He's averaging 1.5 blocks. His points are exactly what I said, 22.9. His rebounds, you can't argue with it. It's 12. So last year, I think he was 27 and 13. Right now, he's 23 and 12. It's not a drastic drop-off, to be honest with you. And from the three-point percentage, because I do go there, you know, he's 33.5. He averages 4 three-point attempts per game. The 4, that doesn't bother me. In today's game, it's the only thing I would say, seeing more post-ups, which you absolutely saw to start that Clippers game. And you know what you like about that? I mean, it sets a tone. I mean, it's so obvious the tone that is set. And the other is just give me 5 run-the-floor early post-ups. 5 in a whole game, that's all I'm asking. And Ben, I've pointed out, he's now, over the last January and February, he's averaging almost 7 free throw attempts, which is double what he was doing in November, when for that month, he averaged 3.4. So there is growth. We do see it. Now you got to work these other guys into having their games grow. And we haven't even talked about it, but you have two guys that you really haven't even incorporated yet in Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III. I hope that Brett decides who this starter should be. And I know he did a half and a half with Furkan and Robinson III. Furkan had a bad game. I don't know that he has to give up on putting him in the starting lineup. Other people feel different. They say he was in a groove coming off the bench. All I know is you had a great first quarter because they had to defend Furkan, period. Now, did his numbers suffer? Yes. But that's, I don't think that will continue that way, but you're going to have to honor him. I don't think you have to honor Robinson III the same way. Maybe it doesn't matter because he does stretch the floor because he has been able to make threes. I don't think it's the same as Furk, but make a decision and decide who that starter is and come up with a rotation that you're comfortable with. And if he does say, please allow me to on given nights go with a matchup that I think is really beneficial, and he messes with that lineup because of that, I got no problem with that. But by and large, you know what you're doing on a daily basis. You have 27 games. You got to get this right. All right, let's go to Mike in Cherry Hill. Mike, what's going on? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, D. Listen, I'm still going to have to blame you and Joe for what's going on with the 76ers. I think that it's time for us to realize that maybe one of the big two have to go, you know, in order to make it happen.
Well, you can think that. I don't think that.
Well, this is my opinion. This is my opinion.
Yeah. Because it's not, I don't know why you're blaming. What are you blaming me about?
Well, I think that you're putting a lot of undue pressure and stress on a young player a la Markelle Fultz. You know, you either have to come in, you have to be great right away, or we're going to, you know, basically nitpick your game and perhaps run you out of town like Markelle. And you see what Markelle's doing. No one wants to talk about Markelle. I mean, he's still playing in the league. And last time I checked, he's at a pretty good level and he's growing. And I think this is something we have to look at Ben about in terms of, you know, yeah, he doesn't have the game that we want him to have, but he has still a very good game. And I think what good coaches do, like your pops did, is that you get players around them that can complement them. And you don't clearly tear them down.
Mike, you clearly have not listened one iota while you were sitting there on hold. I just told you about the growth of Ben's game this year. I have no idea where you're saying I anyhow, proceed as you were.
Well, like I said.
Because you clearly weren't listening to me, but that's fine.
Maybe not you as of late. I'm just saying, you just didn't,
in the last 5 minutes, I was talking about the growth. What did I say about Ben's game in the last 5 minutes?
That he has shown growth. But what I'm saying, though, is people on the station, Joe Torti, I'm not going to name names, but have said and kind of, you know, held him to task about this jumper. And they're not looking at the other things that he's doing well.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and talk about somebody else's comments. I've said all along, I don't care about his jumpers. I asked him to get to the line for the benefit of this team, to get to the line more. I just gave you stats where he has doubled his number of free throw attempts from November to January and February. I have no idea. I'm not going to sit here and talk about somebody else's comments. That's just silly.
Yeah,
what point would you like to make about the Phillies, Mike, please?
But the Phillies, I think that, you know, going into spring training, just like baseball in general, a big cloud, dark cloud over the whole MLB. And I think in order for things not to, you know, go south very, very quickly, they're going to have to get off to a very hot start immediately. And I just wanted to ask you, you know baseball, how likely is it that the Phillies are going to get off to a hot start straight out the box, out of spring training?
Well, hot start, I mean, in comparison to the other teams in their division, because they're in a tough division, arguably, you know, the best in baseball. So
absolutely.
if you're saying a hot start, I would say this. I think there's a lot of, I phrased it yesterday that people asked for change in terms of leadership. They didn't want Gabe here anymore. And so that happened. And now you have Girardi. You also, there was a lot of issues with your pitching in that the bullpen fell completely apart by injury. And maybe you didn't have enough starting pitching. You did add Zach Wheeler. So you did add a legitimate starter there. For some, that wasn't enough. But you also got a pitching coach in here who has a track record. And if leadership does make a difference, then I say you must allow the leadership a chance to work with the pieces that many thought going into last year would make them a team that was playing in the postseason. And so when you say hot start, I don't know if it can be hot enough, as you're asking, but I do believe that this is a group that might be able, you might be able to get more out of what you saw a year ago. And they also made a lot of change in how they're running the whole team. And they've come up with a system. It's called the Integrative Baseball Program, and it's a 4-person thing. But they've added nutrition. They've added rehab people. They've added bought new toys, I call it, electronics, which, you know, from the analytics, people love it. Some people don't, but there is new information. But it is all now being funneled in a much more organized fashion so that you can give players from how this can help you with your physical being. This can help you see what you are doing that could maybe help you in a batting stance, in how you run, in how you deliver pitches. And so I would like to see, you know, a couple months, 2 months in, how is all that either had an impact or not in with new leadership? So that's just what I'm looking forward to.
I hope that's the case, D, because I do not, matter of fact, I can't go through another year like last year. So
yeah, but most of that has always come in the back part. Yeah, September swirls, I call them.
Okay, great conversation, D. I'll call you next week. Thank you.
Mike, have a great day. Thanks for the call. All right, 610-632-0975. Ike, you're going to be up next on the other side. We'll talk some Ben. We'll talk some Joel. We'll talk some Phillies too, if you want to continue that conversation as well. I invite you all to join the conversation right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Just for clarification to Markelle Fultz and the year he's having. Yes, he's on an Orlando team that has surprised some, played some good basketball. He's averaging a shade under 12 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, shooting 46% from the floor, but 27% from 3. And he's a young player who's growing. For the guy who's here playing alongside Ben Simmons, Josh Richardson, he averages 15 points. He shoots 34%, which is a down number from 3 for him. And I guess part of what will always be attached to people who are chosen number 1 overall in the entire draft is, do they live up to that? So I have a guy who is 2 years ahead of Fultz, but he came in the second round, the 40th overall pick, and he gives you more. You know, patience is one thing, but it was the wrong fit, the wrong pick for this particular team. I never liked it when they took it. I still won't ever say that it would have worked out if there was patience. No way, no act for me. And you can move on. You know, put it in the rearview mirror. Let's check in with Ike in Southwest Philly. Ike, what's going on? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, D?
I'm doing all right.
All right. So, you know, I agree with Embiid's statements. Like, he right. Like, if I remember correctly, last 2 years, we had, like, the best, like, one of the best scoring-wise offenses in the league.
I don't think that
as much predicated on Ben and him as opposed to
Jimmy and JJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
And even before Jimmy, when the year before, I think Covington and JJ, they fit a little bit better than our current.
Well, I would also say the year before, I'm going to give Bellinelli and Ersan a little bit of credit for the back
them
half.
Too.
Yeah.
Them too, that's true. And that's when we started taking off too.
That's when they got on that 16-game winning streak.
Yep. And the thing is, and I think the whole thing is, I think it could take off again because Brett finally did what a lot of us thought he should have did for a while, was put Al on the bench.
Yep.
because the fit didn't work. And I understand NBA's ego, politics, and stuff like that. So he might have had to play that out a little longer than we like.
And finances, unfortunately, factor in because the guy is making $109 million. And, you know, there's a lot of people who question the money that you gave the guy. And he's, you know, 33 or 34 years old.
Mommy, just got a little worried about that in 2 or 3 years. But
well, it is the one good thing is in that final year, the fourth year.
Oh, no, guaranteed.
There's a way that if you he doesn't, you know, that deadline where you pay them for the remainder at that whatever that deadline is in like it's January 1 or the first week of January. There is a way that if you let him go at that point, he's off your books and he still is okay. He's obviously okay financially, but there's some wording in it. It was actually well done because it scales the other way. Normally you go where each year you're getting more money. He goes the opposite.
And you know what else I was going to say is, people I think aren't paying attention to this. And I know you a slick, NBA mind, basketball mind all around. I think the Sixers really are built for the playoffs. I think they match up well with the Bucks.
That one I would agree.
I think we actually match up well with Boston as well.
Boston, your season series would tell you absolutely you do.
And Miami too. And I understand season series don't show that, but
there were two blowouts. One was in your favor, and the other was in their favor. And then two close games, which they won both of those. One was in overtime. The only thing I would say I don't find them. That one would bother me a little bit more. The same with Toronto. There's something about they're both well coached, first of all. And they're not, you know, they're not around one star guy.
Let me just say this about the Miami. If you remember the one game around Christmas time, we had that game. Remember Embiid holding the ball out?
Yeah,
we had that game, and the other game we lost to him here in Philadelphia, the second time we played him, we was up 20 in the second quarter. And then they did that zone, and the Sixers were brain dead, they couldn't play against the zone.
And they've had more practice against the zone, obviously, and hopefully.
So I think we could be cool with that. Toronto, they just got something. I ain't in front. They got something, but we actually had them the first game of the year, too, when Embiid had 0 points.
0 points, so I know.
I'm not worried. I'm not scared. You could beat anybody or get beat by anybody.
Exactly. That's my point. Nothing would be a shoo-in that you could compete with all of those teams. I do believe you are right.
And I just hope Brett just get a little bit like, I know he's trying to fill out his rotations or whatever, but I just be worried sometimes with, like, it took him so long to do that. I think our bench is better with Al and Korkmaz. I think Al and Korkmaz actually got a pretty good rhythm on the court, and then with Korkmaz as well, so that little second unit might end up being better. So it's just pain.
No, I agree with you. I first of all, they push the pace. The numbers of when Simmons and Horford play without Embiid bode well for both of those guys, and I think it's worthy to say that because everybody's so down on Horford. He's not having a horrible year. He's been asked to shoot too many threes. He was a good 3-point shooter in Boston because he shot good threes, good opportunities. He wasn't forced to be out there on a steady diet. And that to me is the reason why. I will say this, give him credit though, in fourth quarters, that guy has definitely come through for this
team. Definitely has, and defensively too.
And that is going to be a little bit of a problem, Ike. In the postseason, if you have to choose starting out defensively your best over offense, I'll be curious to see how you, because the defense when it's Embiid, Horford, and Simmons is legit. And then when you throw Josh into that, those four, their defensive numbers are very, very strong.
And let me ask you one last question.
Yes.
In your opinion, isn't it kind of about point of view or just perspective on stuff? Because everybody say Ben and Joe got two different styles. Ben more push the pace, Joe more the half court game. But if you want to look at it half full, cup half full, we got two different styles.
Right. So then you have two ways of beating people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And no. I
think sometimes people get too negative.
Yep.
He has some legit points, but sometimes we be ODing on the negativity. But you know, but I enjoy the show always.
I appreciate it, Ike. Thank you. I will say this, Ike, you make a very good point because it used to be. I don't know why people don't see this now. You used to remember when a whole bench would come in. Like we had a group at one time. I think we called them the Bench Mop Crew, or they had some nickname for the. For the reserves, and they would come in as a unit and, you know, get things done, and they played in this chaotic way. The reason I'm forgetting the name, it was probably part of the process, and so it wasn't part of a good team, but they had a nickname, they had an identity, and it was a group that played different than the starters, and that was okay. So I agree with you, and then this happens to be with two of your starters and when they're not on the court together, and that they're two different styles. I'm totally fine with it. I just sometimes not because he has to fit Ben's style, but for the benefit of the group and for him having a skill that would so dominate in this regard. Please go get some early post-ups, Big Joe. Please. Because you would just put fear in the eyes of your opponent on just a couple early post-ups where you run end-to-end. They can't stop him in that. Bill, you're going to be up next on the other side. We'll continue the conversation. 610-632-0975. I'm going to pull up Horford's fourth quarter numbers. I know they're good off the top of my head, but I want to be able to give you the exact. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.